Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast on working under pressure. My name is Tracy Sinclair and I'm a corporate executive coach and management development consultant. I have been working with the AAT staff, branch network and members for the last 13 years. During this recording, there may be an opportunity for you to complete an exercise for yourself or to take a little time for thinking. Therefore, please feel free to pause the recording at any relevant point for this purpose. During the course of this recording, we will cover the following areas. We will look at four key skills. We will consider how you view the situation when you are under pressure. Full of necessity or possibility. We will consider habits and focus, the big picture, balance, dealing with the unexpected, and taking decisive action. During challenging times, one of the most important qualities required is the ability to be flexible and agile when it comes to strategy, tactical plans, and the way you operate on a day-to-day basis. We all have our own preferred way of doing things. However, relying on how we have always done things may not give us the result we want and need when the circumstances are different. If the environment within which we have to succeed has changed, then we must also change with it. This means that we must bring new ideas, resources, and skills to the table. And one of those qualities is to know how to work effectively during a crisis situation or difficult period. Here then are four key elements to working under pressure successfully. The first one is calmness. People are creatures of habit, and when changes in the environment upset the status quo, they often become rather destabilized and uncomfortable. This means that they will immediately look around them for something familiar and stable to ease the sense of comfort and create safety. It is important to display, therefore, calmness and reassurance in order to create that safety and certainty. Think about how you would like your staff or colleagues to handle the pressures and then role model this yourself. In order to do this, it is important that you focus on yourself both from a mindset as well as a body language perspective, i.e., how do you operate from an inside and outside perspective? Your own mindset inside needs to be one which includes thoughts and feelings associated with confidence, belief, determination and courage. Remember, when you role model, it is not just what is displayed externally that people pick up on. If your own thoughts and feelings are not in line with what you say and do, people will know. Not only that, they are more likely to trust their instincts and go with what they sense is going on for you, as opposed to what you are saying to them. As a result, not only do you fail to lead well, but you can also begin to lose credibility and respect. Take some time, therefore, to check in with your own response to what is happening and the pressures that you're experiencing around you. How would you like it to be different? And what can you do in order to create a more robust mindset of your own at this time? Your own inner dialogue or self-talk should be supportive and resourceful to you, not dragging you down and away from what you want to focus on. Getting you and everyone else through a difficult period in good shape. On the outside, you also want to display certain qualities. These include being mindful of how you are breathing. Basically, we have two ways of breathing. One, which is down in the belly area and is usually slow and deep. This is called low breathing. The other is further up in the chest area and tends to be shallow and fast. This is called high breathing. When adrenaline is released into our system, it creates high breathing. Like the panting almost that occurs after running, or the shortness of breath created by a shock. Being stressed or anxious also creates high breathing, and this in turn is picked up by others and concluded to be a sign of trouble. Therefore, to role model calmness, it is important to focus on breathing low so that your stability is noticed and acts as a reassurance to others and indeed yourself. A great way to promote low breathing is to pause more often between points or sentences, and also to make the pauses slightly longer than usual. This not only gives you more time to breathe fully and lower, but it also has the effect of enhancing your credibility and intelligence as perceived by others, all of which puts you in the best possible place to positively influence those around you, as well as yourself. The second element is that of a long-term view. When times are tough, people can get very bogged down in how awful it is right now. Even the most optimistic of people can find themselves wondering how long the problems will go on for and feeling less resilient over time. The key is to get out of the now and into the future. This is the time to be clear about the vision for the future and to engage with that future in as rich a way as possible. If the destination point is exciting and compelling enough, we will endure a tough journey to get there. The third element is how we frame things. This is a little bit like deciding what pair of glasses to view the situation through. In the Chinese language, the symbol for crisis and opportunity are exactly the same as each other, and in their culture, they define them in similar ways too. Therefore, do you frame the current situation as a crisis or as an opportunity? In order to experience the challenges as opportunities, it is important to become more comfortable with the risk, the tension, and the ambiguity. This may or may not be a natural part of your own makeup. However, even if it isn't, look back on those occasions in the past when you have found yourself drawing upon those qualities successfully, and use that example as something that you can use to your benefit again now. Once again, how you role model the situation, crisis or opportunity, is likely to be how those around you will experience it too. The fourth element is to have a decision-making process and have an effective one. There are many decision-making processes around, and one which I like for working in challenging situations is called GEDI, which is G-E-D-I, standing for gathering, evaluating, deciding, and implementing. It is very simple, and yet if followed consistently, and most importantly in an ongoing way, it supports the flexibility and agility needed to weather the storm. Necessity or possibility? How do you view the situation? Are you driven and motivated by what has to be done or by what you would like to do? If it is the former, then your unconscious pattern is most likely to be one of acting upon necessity. If, however, you are motivated by what you would like to do, then your unconscious pattern is more likely to be one of acting upon what is possible. Our preferences for necessity or possibility often show up in the language we use, both with others when we are speaking and also within ourselves when we hear our own internal voice chatting away to us. What type of language do you notice yourself and others using? Do you hear, "I have to," "I must," "I need to," "I should," "I ought to," all of which are signs of necessity? Or do you hear, "I want to," "I'd like to," "I could," "I might," which are examples of possibility? Although there is no right or wrong way of being, it is noted, however, that when we use the language of possibility, it implies that we have choice. On the other hand, the language of necessity implies a lack of choice, and having a lack of choice is often not a very pleasant or comfortable experience, and one which can create a sense of pressure. Therefore, either we have to do something because we want to stay away from the consequences of not doing it, or we want to do something because we want to move towards a desired end point or goal. The language of necessity also links to something else we have explored in our podcast on work-life balance, and that is leaking energy. For example, "I have to stay and do this task, but really, I'd rather be somewhere else." All of this simply adds to the sense of pressure that we experience. So, when approaching your work, what type of language do you use? Do you have to do your work? Or do you want to do it? Of course, in life, there are always some things that simply have to be done, and sometimes we don't want to. Necessity-based action also has benefits in terms of enabling us to be focused and organised. However, studies indicate that those people who more consistently operate from a place of wanting to do things feel that they have more choice and therefore give of themselves more fully and freely to the task, which usually means it is not only completed successfully, but more importantly, gives us more personal fulfillment. The key here is to have range, being able to move comfortably and appropriately between necessity and possibility gives us the greatest choice of all. So, the big question is, what do you want? Can't see the wood for the trees? Now let's look at another pattern. Some of us are so focused on the tiny detail that we simply can't see the wood for the trees and we lose sight of the big picture. On the other hand, some of us are so busy taking in that global or bird's eye view that we miss important points and don't have a lot of attention to detail. Either way, in its extreme, both of these stances can create pressure for us. We often find also that as people we can irritate each other if we come from different ends of this spectrum. Those who focus on the detail can find the other person somewhat vague, and those who focus on the bigger picture can find the detailed person quite overwhelming. And yet both of these ways of operating have their benefits. The big picture approach often brings vision, framework, and context, and the detail approach brings organisation, practicality, and planning. Here again, then, the trick is to have range and flexibility, and to be very clear about how the smaller details relate to the bigger picture and your overall goal. The order that these two thought processes come in is also significant, and it is widely believed that those who start with the big picture first and then move in to fill in the detail will have a much improved experience and outcome. Take a moment to consider how you tend to think and how you typically approach a work assignment. Remember that your way is not wrong, but also know that if you continue to develop your range of approaches, you can engineer a better result and feel a lot less pressurized. Habits. Habits will determine your future. They are something that is done often, and it usually becomes easy to do. Negative habits, however, breed negative consequences, whereas successful habits create positive rewards. It is useful to develop successful habits over time. Some bad habits have long roots. Interestingly, NASA astronauts do checklists for every procedure to create some fail-safe system. And part of the way that they do this is to explore and implement 4 new habits every year. In 5 years, that's 20 new good habits. What would 20 new good habits do to your life and your experience and the results that you get? If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Focus, therefore, on creating good habits. Focus. When under pressure, it can be helpful to let others do what they do best, and you focus on your natural talents. What is it that you do effortlessly? What do you do that other people find difficult? In a typical working week, what percentage of your time do you spend on your brilliant activities? 20%? 30%? Possibly 40%? What would it be like, I wonder, to take this to 80 or 90% of your time on your natural talents and abilities, especially at a time when you are under pressure? Consider also, are you a starter or a finisher? And either way, find the people around you that can pick up the areas that you are not so good at. From a focus perspective, consider also the 4D solution. D for dump it, delegate it, defer it, or do it. For focus also, it is important for us to know when we say no, both to others and ourselves. Seeing the bigger picture and taking time to think and ponder is a very important element to maintaining our decorum and our balance under pressure. It's important to develop absolute clarity, creating pictures around the successful outcome, being really clear about what success looks like. Stephen Covey talks about putting a ladder up against a building and then spending a lot of time and effort climbing to the top, only to realise that the ladder was up against the wrong building. Not being clear about what we want is a certain way to create pressure for ourselves. Creating balance, linking of course back to our podcast on work-life balance, means having a more realistic goal to integrate your work with your life in a way that reduces your stress and the pressure that you feel under. Integrate work with life instead of trying to balance the two. Is it not possible that work and life are not two separate things? Much of life revolves around work, just as you bring who you are to work. And if you are going to take a break from work, which when you're under pressure is important, then make sure that the break is restorative if it really is a true break. Dealing with the unexpected, the biggest challenges we face in life and work stem from events usually that we can't control or foresee. Is it therefore possible to get through an unexpected ordeal with as little stress as possible? Yes, but the key is to spend time getting organised before the crisis happens. This can, however, lead to us wanting or seeking too much information. When we are facing a huge challenge, the typical response and tendency is to seek more information. But we confuse having more information with feeling more in control. And very often, that excessive information can lead us to feel overwhelmed. Accept the fact that you may make mistakes during stressful times. Don't beat yourself up and ensure that you organise around this constraint with the help of others if necessary. And finally, a few words about decisive action. Indecision is usually caused by procrastination. And there typically seem to be six reasons for procrastination. One is that we could be bored. We could be overwhelmed with work. Our confidence might have slipped. We have low self-worth or self-esteem. We are doing work that we don't really like. Or we are easily distracted or even perhaps feeling somewhat lazy at that time. And finally, consider the TADA formula. TADA is T-A-D-A. T for think. Time for reflection is essential. A is for ask. Everything you need to know to make intelligent decisions. D is for decide. Visualize the negative consequences if you don't make the decision, and compare these with all the positive benefits of moving forwards. And finally, act. It is important to say to yourself, ready, steady, go. And not just ready, steady. This concludes the podcast on working under pressure. I do hope you have found this useful. And thank you very much for listening.